This is Phil Spector. It is so difficult at this time to say words that would express my...
Hello. You're listening to the first ever So Disappointed bonus episode. This tiny episode is about historical events that overshadowed other historical events and therefore caused disappointment. We're here with So Disappointed co-creator and writer, Paul Whitelaw, who's going to tell us about some of those things.
Paul. Yes, Wendy, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you at home or wherever you listen to this. Yeah, obviously there are thousands or millions of instances of these. We've whittled it down to the sort of things that's in our pop culture wheelhouse. So we're just going to focus on those. The first one I wanted to start with was a notorious date, November the 22nd, 1963. Obviously that was the date that John F. Kennedy was assassinated. It was also the day that A Christmas Gift for You from Phil Spector was released, which is regularly tops polls of the greatest Christmas albums of all time. It's a beloved Christmas record. We all know it. Features the Ronettes, Darlene Love, the Crystals, Bobby Sox, and the Blue Jeans. Is that their name? Whatever. Phil Spector's roster of artists. We hear these songs every year. All these songs given the Phil Spector treatment. Now, this was expected to be a big hit at Christmas 1963, but it was released on November the 22nd, same day as JFK was shot. No one bought it. It was a massive flop because no one was in the mood for A Holly Jolly Christmas in America that year. And it wasn't until it was re-released in the early 70s on Apple by the Beatles, because they were huge Spector fans, as we know.
That Apple, not...
Not the Apple, the original Apple, The only Apple as far as I'm concerned. They re-released it and then it became, you know, the yearly staple that it is. But it was one of those things that was overshadowed at the time and wasn't as successful as you think. A bit like It's a Wonderful Life, for different reasons, wasn't a massive hit at the time. And sticking with that date, November the 22nd, JFK was assassinated. Just thought I'd reiterate that for people with short attention spans. The next day, 23rd of December 1963, was the day that the very first episode of Doctor Who went out, An Unearthly Child. And obviously that was overshadowed by the big news of JFK's assassination. So much so that it got very small viewing figures. Not a lot of people tuned in. So, and I think such was the BBC's confidence in this weird new show of theirs, the Saturday early evening Saturday family sci-fi show, that they actually repeated the first episode the following Saturday.
That's very unusual.
It's very unusual.
That's a hell of a decision. And like you say, it smacks of them having so much confidence in the show and saying, no, guys, please... watch it.
I think as well that it was, not to get too nerdy into this, I'm a big Doctor Who fan, so I won't get to it, but the guy, the producer, or the guy who came up with the idea basically of Doctor Who was Sidney Newman, who was a very powerful man at the BBC. So, you know, he had a vested interest in it. So he had the clout to say, we're showing that again next week. So JFK, God rest his soul, he overshadowed two cultural touchstones by being shot in the head.
Good Lord. That's making me want to go and look up what were people doing, you know, what were they listening to, what music did they buy, what were they watching on television in the immediate aftermath of his assassination.
Because it would be deemed so insensitive to be playing these jolly Christmas songs. It must have been a weird Christmas in America.
Talking about Christmas songs, probably the most famous now, other than Mariah. She's fabulous. It's a fabulous song. No complaints there. But probably the most famous Christmas song just now is Last Christmas.
And don't worry, we're not going to play it.
Just in case it's December and you're trying not to listen to it, we're not going to play it.
Another very famous Christmas record, also featuring George, came out in 1984, and that was Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas, which went to number one and was, you know, for a very, very good cause. And Last Christmas went to number two. And as we know, Wendy, there's a lovely clip in the Band-Aid documentary that was released a couple of years ago,
which you should absolutely watch. It's spectacular.
But it's Polly Yates, who was there on the day, interviewing everyone. And she's interviewing George about his new record, which no one had heard at that point. And George, semi-playfully, is a little bit miffed that this big all-star Chariot record is going to steal his record's thunder, isn't he?
I think he knew that he had written something legendary.
The song's really catchy. It's a major threat to our fourth number one.
Your fourth number. What's your next single?
It's called Last Christmas. It's a Christmas single.
Is it very Christmassy?
Very.
Well, I can't ask you to sing a bit. You'll get mortified.
You can't ask me to sing a little bit. Yeah. I'm asking you a little bit.
All right.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. And I'm not giving you any more than that.
Oh, really, that was good. Imagine I'll go and tell all my girlfriends.
But he also knew, because, I mean, that's the thing. George Michael's one of those people, like Rob Reiner, that after their death, you know, during their lifetime, you're like, this person's a dude. And then after their death, you're like, wow, this person's a saint. This person transcends. And that's George Michael for me anyway. And so he's right down at an atomic level. He's a good man, but he knows he's written something legendary and he knows he's not getting Christmas number one. And you need to understand that back in the 80s, Christmas number one was the pinnacle of everything.
It was. And to be fair to George, he was very young at the time, and I'm sure if he was to be, as an older man, if he'd been reminded of that, he would cringe and laugh. Young self for being so slightly tactless.
But bless him, he got Christmas number one last year, 2024, he got it.
And he was, as you say, Wendy, he was a genuinely, massively generous and charitable man. And of course, we didn't really know that at the time. It all came out after he died. Everyone knows that story. But there you go.
And we lost him on Christmas Day as well.
Oh, I forgot to say that Aldous Huxley and C.S. Lewis both died on the day that JFK was assassinated. And that was completely, well, more or less completely overlooked.
Actually, one of our listeners pointed out, because that happens when you've got, you know, a couple of sort of major deaths that happen on the same day. One tends to kind of rise to the top and become the most important. And as one of our listeners, Ed, pointed out, the great Farrah Fawcett died on the same day as Michael Jackson. So it got completely overshadowed. And everyone kind of, it was one of those ones where people were like, Farrah Fawcett is dead? So it was probably the same back then with Aldous Huxley and C.S. Lewis. Like, they're dead as well. When did that happen?
Very, you know, much the Charlie's Angels of their day. sexy pin-up C.S. Lewis.
He looked amazing with his incredible blowout.
Hugely influential hairdo.
Fabulous.
That Aldous Huxley had.
Hello, I must be going. I cannot say I came to say I must be going. I'm glad I came, but just the same, I must be going. La la.
But yeah, very similar. We're on a similar tip of deaths overshadowing other deaths. I mean, we have an Elvis double whammy in this little bonus episode.
Ooh.
The first one is that Elvis, as you may know, died on the 16th of August, 1977.
Mm-hmm.
A few days later, on the 19th of August, Groucho Marx died.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, Groucho's death was, of course, overshadowed by Elvis's death, because Elvis's death was huge.
Massive outpouring of grief.
It was similar to what happened a few years later when Lennon died. Absolute outpouring of grief. Now, Groucho Marx, of course, is a legendary figure, and he was quite old. He was in his late 80s when he died. That would have been front page news had Elvis not died, because
Yes. Even
though he was old and he hadn't made films in decades, he was still very famous. He was still an indelible part of pop culture. And especially in the 60s and 70s, the Marx Brothers had been sort of reclaimed by the counterculture as these sort of icons of anarchy and anti-establishment. And so Groucho was just someone that everybody knew and loved. I mean, in the 70s, he was hanging out with Elton John and Alice Cooper. Queen named a couple of albums after. So it wouldn't have just been old-timey comedian dies. It would have been other front page news. But when the King of Rock and Roll dies, sadly, Groucho, you're shunted to one side. And the other Elvis overshadowing that I want to discuss is something to do with the Wow signal. You can tell us about that, Wendy.
The Wow signal. So the Wow signal is a signal that was picked up by radio telescopes. And radio telescopes are listening to the sky all the time. But in 1977, in August 1977, they picked up a signal that was unlike anything else they'd ever seen before. And again, this is back in the day. This is before things were recorded on disc or before they're accessible on the internet. And so there's a big paper printout of the signals that this radio telescope is picking up from space. And the guy who was like watching this at the time saw the signal, understood whatever this information was, which I don't understand because I'm not an astrophysicist, and wrote "wow" in the margins. And this thing is still talked about to this day. We still don't know what it is, or whether or not the wow signal could potentially be a signal from another civilization, another intelligent species. It could have just been a blip. What it is, we still don't know, but it was amazing. And that happened on the day that Elvis died?
Just a few hours before he died.
Good Lord.
Elvis is more important than the discovery of alien life forms.
Maybe it was them coming to pick him up, going, oh, like God, Elvis, we've got to go get his spirit. He's too important.
I mean, it would have been wonderful if that had happened just before Bowie died, wouldn't it? It would have been poetic. If they'd come to take him back to space where he was born.
Do you know, I talk about people who were just so spectacularly talented and otherworldly. So yeah, I'm, you know, of course it's not true, but part of me is like, yeah, they were coming to get their boy.
Yeah, absolutely. And another sad death of a legend to finish with, on an upbeat note.
Woo! Sorry.
Was in 1999 when Frank Sinatra died. Now, Wendy, I'll throw this one over to you because this is actually, in a roundabout sort of way, this story is what kickstarted this whole podcast in the first place.
Yes.
Or it was one of the stories that got us thinking about it.
Well, yeah, because we became obsessed, really, the two of us, with the final episode of Seinfeld. And we will tackle this at some point, just not yet, guys. I was watching Seinfeld from the very beginning. I'd never watched it when it came out because, disappointingly, it was buried in the schedules. They kept moving it around the schedules.
BBC Two, Wednesday nights, and a double bill with the Larry Sanders Show. Very formative experience for a lot of comedy nerds.
I'm pretty late at night and I was at school. And so I remember seeing a couple of episodes and thinking, oh, these guys are pricks. Not realising that that's exactly what I was supposed to think. And Paul's telling me as we're watching this, oh, the final episode of Seinfeld was one of the greatest TV disappointments of all time. And me wondering how on earth that could have happened. What's going on in people's brains? What were they expecting? What did they think was going to happen? And from that, we kind of got the idea for this podcast. In fact, directly got the idea for this podcast.
Cultural disappointments.
And at the time that we were looking into this, we discovered this incredible story. So on the night of the finale of Seinfeld, various things happened. It was shown on a jumbotron in Times Square. Other major TV channels in the US basically didn't have anything in the schedules for the hour that it was on because he knew that nobody was going to be watching. The viewer figures were insane, absolutely insane. So essentially everyone is either at home watching Seinfeld in Times Square, watching Seinfeld around their friends, watching Seinfeld at the pub, watching Seinfeld, and the roads are completely empty. And at that point, Paul?
Frank Sinatra had a heart attack and was rushed to hospital.
In Las Vegas?
In New York, actually.
Oh, was it in New York?
Which is even more apt.
Even more apt!
Which is for a Seinfeld set, for those who don't know. And he was rushed to hospital and the ambulance got to the hospital in record time because the streets were deserted. There were no traffic. Unfortunately, even though they got there in record time, Sinatra still died. And there's a sad footnote to that. His daughter Nancy was planning to visit her father that night. She lived just 5 blocks away in New York, but she, like everyone else, was watching the Seinfeld finale.
Really?
And she had no idea he'd been rushed to hospital. As according to an interview she did with the New Zealand news media site Stuff in 2009, her stepfather, mother Barbara, didn't call to tell her. And naturally, she's been full of anger and regret ever since.
Oh, that's so
Happy New Year, everyone.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
And Wendy, you've got your own, I mean, obviously your birth is a major historical event.
Hugely important.
But there was one birthday in particular that was overshadowed by something pretty significant, wasn't
My 20th birthday.
What happened then?
Princess Diana died on my 20th birthday. And I was so annoyed.
It's a real bummer.
I'm sorry. I was just so full of resentment. It's terrible. I'm so sorry, Princess Diana.
Queen of Hearts.
And do you know what? She was a great bunch of lads. She was good people.
She was. So what did you have planned? You had big plans that day.
I was going to an ABBA tribute night and I had my whole outfit sorted out. The entire day, everyone kept coming up to me going, happy birthday. God, isn't it sad? And the whole day I just had this terror of, I'm not going to get to go to my ABBA tribute night in my flares. I'm an idiot.
No, it was the 90s.
It was the 90s. It was important, guys. It was important.
It and, was so...
Ever since then, I mean, it's like all of my major birthdays. You know, my 30th birthday is 10 years. My 40th birthday is 20 years. When I turn 50, it'll be 30 years. So, you know, if you ever meet me, ask me how long Princess Diana has been dead and I'll be able to tell you to the day. God rest her soul. She's with the angels now.
She is. She's with the angels now.